Okay, so we're going to be wrapping it up tonight with a little bit different view, but it really isn't. It's the same, yet we have to adjust a little more. And just so you know, and you probably know this already, but I mean, there's no way that you can cover eternity before the world was, the wisdom that existed before the world in three sessions of, or four, whatever we did. But I believe that the Holy Spirit has been gracious to us to lay it out in a way that there's a good chance that we can take that with us, you know, put it in your luggage and take it home with you and spend time meditating and being open to, at this stage, I'll just call it being open to the land of none. Or done, I mean, the land of done, and being open to that, though, it's important the way I said that, because if we lose that part and we don't really get that, then the conference, the gathering, this time together, whatever you want to call it, is going to be temporal. We're talking about maintaining that which is eternal in relationship to it. And so, you know, I know you take this serious while we're here, and I know that some of you will definitely do that, but we can easily, I think Christianity has made us as such that it's easy to let things slip. And then we're always, and it slips partially because we're always looking for something more that'll give us more confidence and security and closeness in the Lord. But this should be replacing that I've got to have a new lesson, I've got to have a new view of Jesus, I've got to have something like that. And this should show us that, you know, there is a place of rest. There's a place, and it's his rest. So, just starting with reading a couple of statements so that we can get on the right track here. For Jesus, the Father was before time. He's from eternity, right? So therefore, he's in that category. His wisdom, the Father's wisdom. He is in that category because it's done. And in the Father's heart too, it's done. We just need to enter in. You know, and that's what it always said about the rest. The problem was, you know, he would say, you need to enter in. So, the Father is that to Jesus, as he walks the earth and more. So, saying it that way again, he is Jesus's land of done. All right. So now we want to talk about us. For us, get ready. It is not Jesus of Nazareth. And some of you may not understand that, but you need to understand it. And we've talked about it maybe a little bit and tried to explain it somewhat. But Jesus of Nazareth, we say that it was, you know, it's the same person, but it's not. God would not be known properly And Jesus would not be the express image of God on any important level if Jesus of Nazareth was all we had to go by. It is Christ crucified that shows us the true nature of God. And that's so important, you know, because there are thousands, maybe millions of churches that are still worshiping not the risen lamb, the slaughtered lamb who was raised to the right hand of God and is now, right now, at the right hand of God. It's like they're still seeing this guy walking around and, you know, in a robe and sandals and got a beard and all this stuff. And, you know, we picture that as our Jesus instead of slaughtered lamb. Because that's how he's described in the book of Revelation, after resurrection. And so that's an important area, because we're, you know, again, if we don't get God right, meaning we really, the image of God that we have is correct, but we're still pointing to something that Jesus became in time, but then left again, then we're quite possibly moving toward idolatry. We're worshiping something that is not God. Okay, so meditate on that and don't freak out, because the land of Dun is still secure. Okay. All right. So the slain lamb before the world is our land of Dun, but also Christ crucified is manifesting the land of Dun. Amen. So Jesus in walking this earth and coming down here is going to be a manifestation of what is done. The lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Okay. Remember the whole thing we had last night, was it, where we went through each thing, was to be able to spot not just spot some sort of a truth, but to spot where it's speaking of from before time and where it's speaking of a manifestation of that. So the statement I just made is just that. It is the lamb slain before the world is the land of Dun, but also Christ crucified is manifesting that. Amen. Okay. All right. So, for us, it is finished, or it is done. And remember, where did Jesus say it is finished? Hanging on the cross. Yeah. You know, Jesus of Nazareth didn't walk around and go, well, you know, it didn't happen. It's finished. Mm-hmm. The manifestation has come of what was already finished, except for he brought it down. Okay, so let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. So we made the statement that it's for us, for us it is finished in him. Again, I'm sorry I'm repeating, but it's so important. Not him that you see in the Gospels, but him who died and was raised. Okay. So, Colossians chapter 2, let's start at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after the land of Dun. Not after Christ. Now, do you want me to read it again? Have it add that last little bit? Beware, he's saying, you know, this is not a thing of figuring out God in the world. It's a thing of knowing him in the land of Dun, which manifestation is Christ crucified. Because they're going to get you off. They're going to get you back looking at yourself and trying to do the right thing and trying to do all of this stuff, not based on, you could say the finished work, but not based on what is secure. So, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, that means the basic tenets of the world, which has nothing to do with what was done before time. Nothing. Okay. And not after the land of Dun, or not after Christ. Okay, so, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's all eternal stuff there. That is not, that's, you know, you could even say, I mean, even the cross in the sense of it being done on earth and everything, that was not from the land of Dun, except as a manifestation. Does that make sense? I mean, if that's true, then we have to keep looking to the source, which is now Christ seated at the right hand of God, having accomplished all, and da 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 da. But that's before time. That's when that death happened. Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So, where am I? Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he's explaining to you that everything that is eternal, is there and complete in him. All that you need is not just a manifestation, but the manifestation always, there's always a manifestation if it's real. But the manifestation mainly proves that it's real from before the foundation of the world. Okay? So, and basically, in case, you know, you might feel you're getting lost already, we're just saying exactly what we did last night. We're doing exactly what we did last night. We're talking about the reality of it before the foundation of the world, that God settled it, and it's called the land of Dun. We call it that. We made up that name. But there's a manifestation of it in the earth. But the manifestation only proves the reality of it and the eternality of it, might I add. Okay. So you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Okay, so we go, well, the devil's going to get me. Okay, well, he can't get in the land of Dun. No way. And if he got in there, he couldn't change what's done. And that's got to be, see, this can't be a little fairy tale or story that we're going through here. It's really got to be so, so strong that we understand all of the, and the best way to do this, if you're feeling a little like, man, I don't quite, is to go back to that first sharing. Well, go back to the ones before this and rehearse that and get it again sort of in the forefront, and then listen to this class, because you'll find that we're just repeating, but we're doing it on a little different basis here. So we're complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers, and in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So it's saying Abraham, God gave Abraham the thing of circumcision. And of course that represented cutting away the flesh, and there's a lot that goes into that, but I'm not going to get into that much more, except to say we are circumcised in him, with the circumcision not made with hands. Every circumcision that God gave to Abraham, which was only to be a manifestation, was done with hands. But yours is not done with hands. And it's done, well, it's done in him, the land of done. It's done in done. And so what we're seeing here is, even as we're talking now, we are falling back. We're reading the Bible, but we're falling back into eternity past, before the foundation of the world. And there we're finding our confidence. Okay? So a Jew would say, okay, well, I gotta be circumcised and, you know, this and that. But it would, and Paul said this, I mean, throughout the New Testament, when he writes, he says circumcision doesn't avail anything except a new creation. Well, what's a new creation?
That which was before the foundation.
That which we were brought, you know, it's like we're always thinking of going forward. So I need to do something to be more spiritual. So circumcision, because that's what God, but that was a type and a shadow. And so, you know, if somehow we can just be by the Spirit of God and the Word of the Lord reaching our heart, we start shooting not forward, but backwards, all the way back before there was anything, so that all there is the land of done.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I see it like you step in, step out.
Well, and that's, yeah.
The back and forth feels like time, but step in.
Yeah.
That's not
right. But if you go back in time far enough here, none of this has even happened in a sense. I mean, in a sense, it's like, no, our reality is what God had and did. And that's why Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is proof.
Yes.
That this is not fooling with things that were done in the earth so that we could, you know, the only things done in the earth were manifestations, and if it's real, God knows it'll manifest, so he doesn't even have to look back.
That's right.
I mean, he doesn't.
Nope.
It's done.
It's done.
You know? All right, so, in putting off the body of sin, so circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So, you know, Christ wasn't circumcised the way Abraham was told to circumcise his people. Christ Jesus was the one who, the flesh was separated. You know, now we're not supposed to know Jesus after the flesh. Right? Well, we say, well, if we don't know him, then we don't know he died on the cross, and then what are we going to do? We're lost, and you're confusing me, and I just, well, God's confusing all of us until we get this.
Right.
You know? Because we haven't heard this. But the Spirit has chosen to begin to reveal this. And I haven't shared this with anybody else to the fullness that I've shared it with you. So he gave me the freedom to share it with you. Why? Because he thinks you're a bunch of idiots and you're going to just live your own life and try to do good and be sweet. because he thinks you're not going to do that. You're going to seek with all your heart to be found in him, as Paul said. But him who is the beginning and the end. Right? All right. So, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. This is all telling you that Jesus manifested and in a true way what was done before the foundation of the world. Unto your glory. Didn't it say that?
Yes.
Unto your glory. Okay. So, so it's faith in the operation of God. Okay. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So where did they come from? You know, when did they jump into the timeline? Well, and they didn't. They just made a creation, and a creation that was made to manifest, but not be the true. Just the manifestation.
That's right.
And if it is true, it will manifest, but it in itself is not the true. What is true is before the world was. This is the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God. So, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. Okay, so this is talking about when in the manifestation when Jesus died. Okay, when Jesus died, you died, and you're dead to your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh is now taken care of. And he's quickened you together with him, and he forgives you all trespasses. Okay. So if that's the case, why, as though living, are you living a Christian life? Why are you not dead with him? Circumcised? Your flesh already circumcised? But we're all trying to do this. And we're trying to do it in our life with whatever tools that we can dig out to go, okay, you know, I'm going to kill my flesh somehow or another. I'm going to get rid of me. You know, well, you're already dead with Christ, but you're also risen with him. And he's taken care of the circumcision and stuff. So if we're always going, oh, my flesh, oh, the agony. Oh, just when am I ever going to? We said, you already have, and you're already before time. What? I'll take it. because this says that is done, and it's done by Christ and manifested on the earth. Okay. So, and having forgiven you all trespasses.
Hallelujah.
In the land that is done,
that's right.
It's forgiven. Mm-hmm. It is, because the sacrifice is, yeah, that's right. The sacrifice has already done that. So, you know, we're concentrating on one sin at a time, you know. Oh, I thought an evil thought about so-and-so. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I was not sincere when I said that. Okay, Lord, oh, da, 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 you know what I mean? And we're just this round and round and round chasing our tail. But can we not trust in Christ? And can we not trust in his death and resurrection? And isn't it easier if you realize that that was done before the foundation of the world? And instead of a manifestation where you're just going, you know, you're going to say, oh, forgive me of my sins, and you're going to run 2,000 years back to the cross, why not just keep going until, you know, It's all settled. All of it is settled. So, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which I, Lord willing, we'll get into that tonight, that was against, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. So this is talking about all the commandments and all the stuff like that. We read the Bible, and, you know, it says, it says don't steal. And so you wrestle and go, oh, but I really would like that. And it would be free. You know? And oh, the wrestling that I have to go through. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to do the right thing. He's going, look, you're dead, okay? My life is in you in full reality. And all you got to do is look away from your stupid, petty things that you think have power enough to change this when it doesn't. And let my son live. But here's more importantly, believe that he's done all of that. And then, because, okay, so the manifestation, he already died, he already shed his blood. So if the way that you're doing it is correct, that means Jesus has to come back and die on the cross for everything you do every time you do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But that's not true, is it?
No.
No. We go to one thing, the land of done, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, in reality, that's what we're doing. We maybe never thought of it like that, but that's what we're doing. We're saying, it's already done, and I thank you for it, and I love you. You know, yeah, it's finished. So, all right, so verse, still verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So it's like, This is like, if you look back before time, this is like nailing something there that's never going to be able to get loose again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's so good. Yeah.
You know? You'll be able to live in him, and in him we live and move and have our being. You can walk right past it and go, no effect. Because all is done, including my death. Okay, so. And took it out of the way. He didn't just nail it to the cross. He took it out of the way. I don't want you staring at that anymore. Hallelujah. So, quickened together with him, okay? Quickened is what he said in the verse before. The things that were contrary to us. Well, what's contrary to us? Us?
Yeah.
What we do? What we think? You know? So he just joined you with Christ and said, here's your new life. New life? We're, you know, you look around Christianity and go, where does anybody have new life? You know, they're still trying to patch up their old life.
Right.
Which, you know, the beautiful thing about all this is that Jesus said from the beginning, and this is what started the whole thing, that I speak to you in parables about what happened from before the foundation of the world, and I speak to you in mysteries.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
This is where we started.
Right.
So, the parable here would be, you know, let's see, what was I talking about? I don't have it written here, but I'm trying to remember exactly what I was thinking of blotting out of the way, having, okay. Well, one of the parables would be, salt is good, but if it's lost its savor, what good is it? You've lost your purpose. The purpose of salt is to season. You've lost your purpose. Well, what's Jesus talking about? Wisdom from before the foundation of the world, and pertaining to how God sees it, And he says, if this land of Dun is really true, and it was true before the world was, and you start trying to live your life for God, then you've lost your purpose. I'd love to. I can't. Could you replay that? how did I say it? That Jesus said, salt that has lost its savor is good for nothing. So if he says before time this has been settled, and it'd probably be good to go back and listen to it, so... Because a lot of times I'm saying it by the Holy Spirit, and then I can't remember because it's a flow.
Minute 29.
And she'll look it up too. that salt that's lost its flavor, if it forgets or, you know, doesn't know what has happened from before, the wisdom that was before the earth, the things that Jesus said were settled before the foundation of the world. I speak to them in parables because they can't hear. So they're too busy trying to get God to bless their salt and bring salt back. But they don't realize that the purpose was to live by Christ, to live by that reality there. But they're too busy trying to make it real in their life and re-salt their salt. Did you salt your salt? Well, he's not telling you to salt your salt. He's telling you that ain't your purpose. So, anyway. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Okay, so people say, okay, the devil made me do it. No, the devil is at work in this earth, and you know, that's undeniable. Yeah, because he doesn't know about that other place, and he couldn't do anything to it if he wanted to. He's not messing with that place. He's not in the land of Dun and turning little things so that it's not done, you know, and he goes, oh, I'm going to go over here and turn this, and then it's not done, and then they're all in trouble. It's still done. He's messing with us about it in relationship to us because we haven't, because we're not salted, because we've, you know, left that. Yeah. So that's what he's doing. And if you just went, you know what? Jesus is my life. I'm one in him. I don't care what you say. You know, I mean, what's he going to do?
Nothing.
You know, you say, well, it's done. He's going to do something that's going to undone me. No, he's not. He can't. And yes, there are things that can happen, this and that. But you should, again, listen to my teaching on, if so you're scared of the devil and fearful about da 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 da, it might do you a little good to, because it, but it all goes back to before the foundation of the world. Steve?
What he doesn't want us to know is his truth.
Right, right. Which is what being salted is about. That's what it's referring to. Okay. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you. Therefore, notice the word therefore. Therefore, if this land of Dun is Dun, then don't let anybody judge you based on what you're doing or not doing in that sense.
And don't judge ourself.
Oh my God. The truth bearer has come to us. Absolutely. No, that's a good... Deb, that's a good interjection. It is a good one. Because...
It's like re-crucifying Christ.
Yeah. But it's that little, you know, hamster wheel, you know? It's like, yeah, but da 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 da. And then you hear something in a sermon, and you go, oh, okay. And then the next day, da 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 da. Kill the hamster. Or better, don't even mess with him. Just go back to the truth that can't be touched by the enemy or changed by anybody or anything, including yourself. And that's what Deb's point was. That we would change that, you know. We would unsalt ourselves and start trying to improve ourselves. Can't improve what God's done. So, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect to a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath. So this is a Jew talking. This is a man who is a Pharisee. He knows the law. He knows what's right and wrong in that sense, you know. And the law basically was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from the very beginning. Good and evil. So we choose good thinking we're okay, and God said, don't get into this good and evil thing. Get in this finished, you know, where I am and what I am to you for eternity. So Paul is writing this, and he knows the rules, and he knows all the rituals that are required and stuff like that. But he has spent his life as a Pharisee saying, do these things, do this. This is God. God gave us all of this. Okay? Well, I'm not going to go into all of why God gave us the law and everything, but I'm telling you that the ultimate end was to get us to what he wanted. Okay? So he's saying to do all this, you know, holy, don't let him judge you on, you know. I mean, that would be like, can you see the Pharisees in their outfit and they're going around saying, you shouldn't be doing that, and you need to be, you know, observing the holy day and everything, you know. And then Paul walks by and he says, you know, don't let him judge you in the Sabbaths and stuff like that. And they would say, well, why would you say that when all the Pharisees say different? He says, because that's just a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Shadow of things to come? What's coming? Manifestation of what's settled. You know? And he's saying, besides, the whole issue is we are part of the body of Christ. It's Christ. It's not us. You know, if that's a finger, that's not Randy. That's Randy's finger. If we're a member of the body of Christ, that's not us. That's us being a member and a part of that body. I think in Christianity, there's too much us. I think in the U.S., there's too much us. That was magical, wasn't it? Too much U.S. let's keep going. Amen. But that, what a great phrase there. Look at it. Seriously, just look at verse 17 without me saying anything and tell me if that isn't worth almost wanting to reach down and kiss that verse. Let no man judge you in these outward tradition things, meat or in drink or respect of a holy day or of a new moon or the Sabbath, which they're just a shadow. That's all they were. They were not, you know, a manifestation is one thing. A shadow of the manifestation is another thing. So this is a bold man. I love Paul in the sense that he really saw something and it was powerful and he wasn't afraid to speak it, you know. But it's hard if you were raised Jewish or you were raised Christian, religious, thank you. Because we're already acclimated is not a good word. I would like to find a harsher word. Indoctrinated. So that we can't see into God's heart. But Paul is doing his best. Thank God. Okay. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You're going to love this first verse that I'm going to read here. Ephesians 1. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I mean, is that?
It says it.
Yeah. You're chosen. You say, I know I'm chosen, but I'm a mess. No, you're not. You're dead. But you are alive by Christ. And you are an earthen vessel that bears about the treasure. And if that's not good enough for you, there's a problem. Because there's too much you. Okay. So, chosen in him, and he just says it before the foundation of the world. He didn't say Jesus died, Jesus's blood got rid of sins, Jesus, you know, took care of, you know, all Sabbaths and all this stuff. He just says you're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Believe it, live it, act like it based on that, not based on you and your life and how good you're doing with Sabbaths and new moons and holy days and, you know, respect of, you know, these things there, which are a shadow, but the body of Christ. That was a good little mixture there, because that was Colossians, then Ephesians. Okay, so he says, you are according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that, okay, so there's a purpose for the choosing. You can't just say, okay, I'm chosen, okay, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, what is that like going, you're chosen, so you better be without blame. You gotta shape up, and you gotta really try hard every day, or, you know, you're out of there. Not at all. This is, you're chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that he did that so that we would not do holy, but be. Read it. It's fun, isn't it? Well, I mean, Mary's sitting there giggling, and that's, every time I look through this stuff, I giggle. I mean, it really is. It's like, are you kidding me? How blind can you be, buddy? You know, let's see the truth. Amen. Okay, so verse 5. Oh, wait, let's finish out. Holy, without blame, before him in love. That is the nature of God, covering one another. They cover. Jesus did that at the cross. The Father's backing you up. The Holy Spirit is backing you up. But we can't believe that if we're still looking at ourselves and saying, well, apparently I'm not chosen, or I'm not holy, or I'm not without blame. You know. I'm sorry, I just went off on thinking of Jesus saying, he that's without blame cast the first stone, which means there would be no stone throwing in eternity. Because we're all without blame, but only based on what Jesus did and who he is. Okay, so having predestinated us I remember one of our girls when they were little, and I was talking about predestination in church, and I don't even remember which one it was. Came up to me. Our girls were so cute. But anyway, they came up to me and said, "Daddy, am I predestined?" I said, "Yes, sweetie, you're predestined. All the dust and all the junk's gone. You're already predestined." Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. This isn't a heaven or hell issue. This is a him issue, period. If we lose sight of what this or never really gain this, then, you know, I don't know. You know, salt is good, but there's no need ever. No matter, see, to me, it would almost seem like the worse you are, the more you should really just grab this. You know what I mean? I mean, just say, okay, I'm with you, Lord. And I'm not chasing after Jesus of Nazareth. I'm with the risen Jesus. All right. So, according to the good pleasure of his will. So this is good pleasure for him to do this. It's his good pleasure.
Amen.
He likes you to be with him. But I mean, in a very real way, he doesn't like you, but he likes you to be with him in this way because that's eternity right there.
Amen.
So, good pleasure of his will, meaning this, he decided he wanted it this way, to the praise of the glory of his
grace.
Now there's grace. That's more than him, you know, stopping you from having a car wreck. Well, it's just grace. I didn't run into, you know what I mean? Well, yeah, okay, good, but this is forever. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Okay. So you should never worry ever about if you're accepted by God. Because he stuck you in the most secure place he could in his beloved son.
Amen.
You should never worry about that. You, in fact, you should celebrate the fact that this is true. Well, let's hear a little celebration.
Whoopee!
Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Man, it sounds like he's just lavishing it, you know. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us.
Amen.
Have you ever seen a St. Bernard run?
Or Reggie.
Yeah. Reggie, our dog, bounds, and his ears flop like this. And then he doesn't stop before he gets to you. He runs into you. You know, this is, I see Jesus doing that, abounding toward us. abounded toward us in all wisdom. There it is, brothers and sisters. There's the wisdom of God before the foundation of the world, before time, okay? And in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery, there it is, see, of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He's not looking for you to purpose it in you. He's looking for you to just accept it, be accepted in the beloved. So he's doing the work. If you, you know, And he's not doing the work and then going, well, you know, if you mess up on the earth, that really destroys everything. Why would he then do before time all that and make a world of done? Why would he do that? That would be ridiculous. And then it would be so fragile because of earth and devils and this and that. And oh, how are we going to, you know, navigate this situation here? Well, how about we don't navigate this? We don't go by the wisdom of this world. We hook into Christ and we go in him back to the original, not just the manifestation. So, the mystery according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, so I want to just say this like this, that in which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, or no, that in the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. The fullness of time was before the world. Manifest in these last days for you. That's what it says. Okay. So, and might gather together in one all things in Christ. So there's been a gathering already. Why are we looking for the gathering that's going to say it in such a way that we get it all? So even this is wrong if we just hold on to this. And the five, I don't know how many sharings have I done, four? Okay. Anyway, it can't be that. We all have to shift from that eventually. Yes, listen to it. Go over it. Pray. Everything else. But you're praying not that what's being taught will get into you, but what is true will get into you. But before you're fully there, ask that what is taught, that he could open your eyes or your heart to see that, as that will move you forward then. That's what will do it, not my words. Okay? Okay, so... verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined or predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So stop arguing. He works all things after the counsel of his will. Don't argue with God, especially a good God. You know, because you, the only thing you would have to argue about is what he's done for you. All right, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Oh my gosh. He's done this all so that this would all redound back to him and make him happy. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Who first trusted in the land of Dun. Who first trusted in Christ.
Praise God.
All right. So I'm going to read a little thing here and going to move into another section here. Godhead, they were one. They're one. Three, but three in one. Same essence, same selflessness, the same being. They are one. But in this sense, you could say that the three that are one, what I wrote was, but none of the three were sufficient, independent in themselves. Now, I know that sounds crazy, so listen. We would say, well, God is all sufficient and we have scripture to prove it and all of this kind of stuff. Well, everything that you're proving is not based on before time. When God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So we only know God within the realm of the world and our understanding. And am I right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just making some statements here, and you don't have to even believe them or whatever. But none of the three were sufficient or independent in themselves. They were intentionally or willingly weak in themselves so that they would be interdependent. The Holy Spirit would declare Jesus. Jesus would declare the Father. The Father would declare the Son. Jesus would send the Holy Spirit. Da, 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 da. You don't hear any of them saying, well, I'll go do this, you know. It's this spirit of being weak and yet God's strength together. Okay. So, they were intentionally willing, weak in themselves. The Father was, Jesus's, let's say, the Father was his before the creation of the world. So the Father, even before the world, the Father was the strength of the Son, or the Holy Spirit was the strength of the Father, or, and they were equal. But they depended not on their own wisdom, strength, power. They depended on one another. Okay? And I know that's a weird concept, but just, you know, like I said, you don't have to receive it or whatever. Just, you know, just ask the Holy Spirit, is Randy just totally cuckoo? So Jesus, and this is sort of a proof of this, but we're going to get into Jesus being called the branch. Y'all familiar with Jesus being the branch? Okay. So, therefore, when Jesus came to the earth, he came as the branch. Okay, so I'm going to read Isaiah 11 to you. So Isaiah 11, 1 through 4, if you want to turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Yeah, 1 through 4. Ready? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And this, so there's the branch. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Do you realize that that's a prophecy about Jesus coming, okay? And so we say, okay, well, he was a baby, and then when he began to minister the Spirit of wisdom and da-da-da-da, I thought he had all this before the foundation of the world. Well, he did, but he became willing, weak. He did that. And I'm going to prove that the Father's started becoming his strength, and then the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so this is where I'm getting this. Well, actually, it's not where I'm getting it. This is, these scriptures are a manifestation of something he showed me a long time ago. But, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might and Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Yea, hallelujah and amen for that one. Amen. Folks, if you see something off in somebody, or, you know, somebody says, well, that person, you know, you can't trust them, or they've got this or that or whatever. Don't listen to people just for listening's sake. Ask the Father what he thinks of him.
That's right.
You know, I mean, there were a lot of people in Jerusalem saying bad stuff about Jesus. And if you went, well, if they think he's bad, he must be bad. Ask the Father what he thinks. It's better to get it from his mouth anyway. All right. So, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Okay, so that I wrote, that which was above and finished was what Jesus relied on. The Father was above and finished, and, you know, all that was settled. The Godhead was settled, you know, for all eternity as far, as far as we know. John chapter 5, so I want to prove it out of Jesus' own mouth here. John chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 19 through 21, then I'm going to skip a few, and I'll tell you which ones they are when I start here. John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. This is not because Jesus was, you know, had legs and, you know, had flesh or whatever. This is the Spirit within all three of the Godhead. Okay. Well, how do you get something done? The other one does it. And then it's, and then the one they did it for will come back and give, and they all just, you can't even keep track of it because there's so much selflessness that is God. So, nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So basically, he's saying that I have something that I had before the foundation of the world that was a strength to me and a stability to me, but it wasn't a system of done so that you don't have to worry this because that's done. And it was the person of done, if you will, for him, the Father.
Praise God.
He is forever, ever secure. So, verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel, for as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will.
Amen.
So, you have settled, you know, before time, Father, and you have manifestation, Jesus will do this also.